I trust that you have an outline there that may help you as we look at the subject tonight of the Passion of Christ, and that in the light of his concern for the lost. Annette and I are delighted to be with you. Thank you for inviting us, and I trust that we will be enriched as the Spirit of God moves amongst us. Some years ago, I asked a doctor to speak to the leadership of our denomination on the subject of AIDS. And what he had to say was both frightening and alarming. He predicted that AIDS would sweep across our country, that it would affect industry, home life, medical resources, and that many children in the country would grow up without parents. And in the meeting was a couple. She had come from Germany. She had married a Hollander here. And they were sitting there, and they were moved by what he had to say. And as they walked out, they thought they must do something for the children without parents. They were in Natal. They went to Essen and they bought a piece of land. And the first thing they did, they built a few huts together and they found 5 children without parents. They then put them in these shacks and they looked for a woman. They found one and they said, "Will you be the mother to these children until they qualify and finish schooling and are able to find a job?" She then went back to Germany and went to every Rotary Club in the country. She came back with a considerable amount of money and they built an establishment there known today as Lily of the Valley. There are more than 200 children there. Both Anita and Case are dead, but the work continues. And the question one asks is, how is it possible for a situation like that to develop? How is it possible that it all began and it has flourished? And I think, and in a general way if I might say so, that everything great in life, everything significantly accomplished, every worthwhile endeavor, every seemingly and supremely fulfilling enterprise is the result of someone's undeniable, unstoppable, and uncontrollable passion. John Knox used to stay for hours in his study, almost sometimes right through the night. And his wife used to come to him and say, "John, come to bed." And he said, "Woman, do you not know that I'm praying for a lost Scotland?" And his prayer was day after day, night after night, "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." And God gave him Scotland. He was a man of passion. They said of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, he was out of breath pursuing souls. A man of passion. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, was asked by the king of his country, what was the reigning and ruling force in his life? And he replied and he said, "Sir, some men's passion is for gold. Some men's passion is for fame. But my passion is for the souls of men." If I might just say and make a comment, one looks today for men like that. Men of great passion. Men of great drive. Men of great enthusiasm. Men of great fervor. We say, where are they? On whom can we model our lives? We have lots of good speakers. Wonderful guys on the television. They're humorous. They're inspiring. They're self-assured, they're glamorous, but it doesn't seem as if they have the passion and the power that many of these other men have. But our model is that of the Lord Jesus. And I'd like to take just a few moments to look at the passion of our Lord Jesus for those who are lost. And first of all, I want to just share with you his passion in his preaching evangelistically. Now, when the Lord Jesus came to earth and suddenly started his ministry, he was announced by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist told them that here is the Son of God. And the first thing that the Lord Jesus said was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was a declaration of proclaiming the kingdom's nearness. He was calling, he was seeking, he was announcing, he was urging, the kingdom of God was here. There was that evangelistic thrust to it. Matthew writes and tells us that Jesus went about to all the cities and all the villages and all the synagogues proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Remember that great statement of his? Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. That's evangelism. That's calling men and women who are loaded with guilt and sin and traditions and legalism to come to Christ for rest. And you know, there was a tenderness. There was a urgency. There was a seriousness. There was a gentleness in the passion of the Lord Jesus. A great scholar of the Bible was a man by the name of Dr. Andrew Bonar. And he listened to a young man preach one day. And afterwards they got together over a cup of tea. And this young man said to Dr. Bonar, he said, you know what? I love to preach. I love to occupy the pulpit. I love to expound the word. I love to evangelize. Dr. Bonar looked at him and he said, young man, but do you love the people to whom you preach? And the young man had the courage to keep quiet. But you know, with the Lord Jesus, when he saw people, he loved them. He saw their lostness. He saw their hunger and pain. He saw their sorrowing and their heartbrokenness in life. And he had passion for the lost. Somebody wrote and said this, Jesus walked the world as a passionate evangelist. But I also want to share with you Jesus' passion in his personal evangelism. Who were his first converts? His disciples. He brought Philip to salvation. There was Peter. There was John. There was Matthew. Remember the Samaritan woman? Imagine all the barriers that he crossed. The gender barrier, the religious barrier, the cultural barrier, the social barrier. There was the tax collector, the blind beggar. There was Nicodemus. And there was the thief on the cross. Personal evangelism. He was evangelizing to the crowds, but he was also evangelizing in the private places to ones and twos. Some of you may have heard the name Frank Jenner. Frank Jenner was an Aussie. And he made a mess of his life. He first served in the British Navy, then the American Navy, then the Australian Navy, and then messed up his life, gambling, his marriage, and all his job opportunities. And one day he was walking down Collins Street in Melbourne. And there was a Brethren Assembly of people from the Brethren Assembly having an open-air meeting. And Frank Jenner stopped to listen. And the person that was leading the meeting said, now I'm going to give you some good news. Frank Jenner put up his hand. He said, sir, before you tell us the good news, can I come up there and tell them the good news? And the speaker said, fine. Frank Jenner got up onto the platform in front of the microphone. And you know, his good news was about gambling. First time the brethren had ever had a meeting on gambling. And he spoke on gambling there. And then he finished, and he went down to the front, and the leader shared the good news of the gospel. You know who was converted? Frank Jenner. He was converted there in Collins Street in Melbourne. He moved over to Sydney, and while he was there, he was wondering what he could do evangelistically. How could he tell people about Jesus? And he went into St. George's Street in Sydney, and he stood there one day, and he had on a piece of paper written these words: if you died within 24 hours, where would you be in eternity, heaven or hell? And he started asking one person, then the next one, then the next one. And he did it for days, and then for weeks, and then for months, and then for years. He went on for 28 years asking people in the same street in Sydney, St. George Street, there in Sydney, the question, if you died within 24 hours, where would you spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? There was a Baptist, I don't often quote Baptist, but just to keep in good terms with John, there's a Baptist in Bournemouth, and he was there, and Francis Dixon, you know the name, great writer, great man of God, and he was sitting with his staff, and he asked his staff to tell the others about their conversion. And the youth worker was there, and he said his conversion came about because in George Street in Sydney, a man stopped him and said, I'd like to ask you a question. If you died within 24 hours, where would you spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? And he said, that led me to faith in Christ. And Francis Dixon, a few days later, met somebody else who had also been converted through Frank Jenner's question. And eventually, within a short period of time, he found 10 people in Bournemouth who were converted directly and indirectly through this question. He got in the plane and he went to George Street and he found Frank Jenner. And he said, tell me, have you ever found any response? Has anybody ever responded to you? Frank Jenner said, not one soul has come to faith in Christ. He said, well, I want to tell you that I've got 10 in Bournemouth that I know of alone who've come to faith in Christ. And then his daughter did a research, and they found that hundreds of people had come to faith in Christ through this man who had the same question, the same approach, the same challenge, the same place every day for 28 years. And they reckon that he had spoke and asked the question 100,000 times. But beloved, with the Lord Jesus, it was in the streets, in the homes, the water's edge, at meal times, and his passion was to present the gospel on a person-to-person basis. The third thing I want to share with you is the impartiality. You know, wherever there was a need, you found that Jesus responded to the lepers, to the prostitutes, to the traitors, to the tax collectors, criminals, social workers. He loved them all. He treated everyone the same. He wasn't influenced by riches or popularity or poverty or status. He did not play favorites. They tell me in America a little while ago that the ladies went, those from the large orchestras, leading music orchestras in the country, went on strike. And they said there are not enough women playing in the orchestras. Only 6%. And they said those who adjudicate and audition them are biased towards the men. So what they did, they put up partitions. And they put the musicians on the other side of the partition. And it moved from 6% to 21%. Ladies, be happy to hear that, wouldn't you? But you know, with Jesus, you don't have to be on the other side of the partition. The Lord Jesus is never biased. He's never partial. He's never unjust. He's never bigoted. He's never unfair. His love is uninfluenced. His love is free. It is spontaneous. And it is uncoerced. And Lord, that's this Jesus' concern for the lost. Wherever there were needs, the Lord Jesus got involved. He helped people physically. He helped people emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He was never too occupied. He was never too busy. He was never too much in a hurry to spend time with the needy. There were Jairus. There was the Levi, the tax collector. There were the 10 lepers. I trust it's only water. And there was the rich ruler, and his concerns were for needy people. A little while ago, it went amongst some of the folk in Cape Town that there were people in the impoverished areas, old people, who couldn't walk. And one woman was taken up by that, and she wondered why the elderly people couldn't walk. And on investigation, she found out that their toenails had grown so long. They didn't have cutters, and they couldn't bend down to cut their toenails. She went to the church, and the minister gave her permission, and she said, "I want to go to the area, and I won't name it, to help the elderly to cut their toenails and be with them." And there was a terrific response. And they came and they went into an area that was absolutely poverty stricken. And there were elderly people lying down or sitting down, struggling to walk. And they went along to all of them, one after another, washed their feet, then cut their toenails, and then massaged their feet with oil. And suddenly there was a group of people who could no longer walk, who were able to walk because somebody had a concern. And my friends, the Lord Jesus had a concern for people. Can I just pause for a moment? I wonder if sometimes in our life, in our busy lifestyle, we're so busy with our own interests, our own concerns, our own demands, our own affections, that we've ruled others out of our lives. We've boxed them out. We don't have time for them. We don't have time for needy people. We don't have time to share the gospel. We don't have time to go and visit the sick. We don't have time, you see. And the concern that we should have had, like the Lord Jesus, the passion, perhaps it's not there. The last thing that I want to share with you is Jesus' motivation for evangelism. Why did Jesus display such incredible passion for the lost? He told three stories. You know them better than I do. Three parables. Remember the parable of the 100 sheep and one got lost? And the shepherd went out and he found it and he brought the sheep back. And what was his reaction when he came back? Got to his friends, to his family, to his neighbors, and he said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Very simple story. What's the key? Lock it in your mind for a moment. And then there was the story of the woman with the coins. Remember? The 10 silver coins. They were so precious to her. They meant the world to her. And she lost one. Do you know what she did? She went all over, lit a lamp, swept the house, moved the furniture, searched everywhere to find the lost coin. I know what it does. A little while ago, Lynette lost her wedding ring and her engagement ring. Can you imagine that? And I want to tell you, from our cottage, we started at one end and we went through it once. Then we went through it a second time. And then I opened up the drains to look for these rings. And then I followed and traced the bag, the black bag that had been taken with the waste, and I found it. I remember having a tear in it, and I found it. I opened it up in the street, took everything out there, searching for those rings. And she can tell you the story afterwards, where we found them. But I remember finding them, and I won't tell you where I found them. And I won't tell you where she lost them. And I won't tell you what happened about it. You can ask her afterward for yourself. I don't want to embarrass my wife in public. But I just want to tell you, when I found it, she was with some friends. And I want to tell you the joy, the enjoyment, the fantastic feeling of finding those two rings for both of us, because I would have had to buy another two, was absolutely fantastic. Do you know that woman? She found the coin, and she brought in all her friends, and she said, come and rejoice with me. And then over the third parable, the lost son. And the son comes home, and the father embraces him. Father puts a robe on him. Father dresses him up. He's moved by great compassion to see his son. And there is great rejoicing. And the older brother out there in the field sulking. The father comes and we celebrate and we're glad because your brother who was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. What are the three parables about? Rejoicing. Think about it. You remember when Jesus explained the lost sheep? He said, I tell you that in the same way there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Rejoicing. You remember with the coin? In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God of a one sinner who repents. The angels didn't rejoice. They were in the presence of God, but God rejoiced. And what was it that caused the Lord Jesus passion and motivation in bringing people to faith? Beloved, to bring glory and to bring ultimate joy to the eternal God. Do you know, every time we bring somebody to faith in Christ, God rejoices. There is an incredible joy in the heart of God. What should motivate us with the loss? Well, they lost, we can say, in all of those things. But beloved, ultimately, is to bring joy to the Father. John Harper was called to be a minister at the Moody Church, and he got on the Titanic. Do you know what happened? The Titanic struck an iceberg, and as it was listing, he leant over the side, and a young man came and stood alongside of him, a young man by the name of William Riley. And John Harper turned to this young man and he said, young man, are you saved? And this young man said, no, I'm not saved. opposite him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And the ship went down, and quite miraculously, both of them were floating on the water, on a piece of flotsam. And there happened, the waves brought them together, both clinging to the flotsam. And Harper turned to this young man. He said, "Young man, are you saved?" The young man said, "I'm not saved." And they drifted apart. And they came back another occasion. And for the last time and the last words that John Harper ever uttered, he said, "Young man, are you saved?" The young man said, "I'm not." He said, "Whatever you do, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And they drifted apart. And John Harper was never seen again. But this young man floated there on the water, and he was conscious that there was 2 miles of sea water below him. And he gave his life to Christ. And years later, he gave his testimony in Canada. And he stood up there, said, "I want to tell you that there was a man by the name of John Harper. He and I were drowning. And he spoke to me about Christ. And there on that water, clinging to some flotsam, I gave my life to Christ." And the person who tells the story says this: "The faithful passion of John Harper to the end." Beloved, may I ask you, as I must ask my own heart, search my own life, do you have a passion for the lost? Do you have a concern? Does it break your heart that your son and daughter don't know Christ? Your parents? Your grandchildren? The people around us are marching and walking to a Christless eternity. Our model is Jesus, his passion for evangelism. So, well, how do I get it? Well, just to say this, that the Apostle Paul said when he looked at the cross, he said, "The love of Christ constrains me." When we look at, see what Christ has done for us, the incredible rescue that he gave for us, it motivates us and fills us with passion. Maybe for somebody this evening, we say, "Lord, my heart's grown cold. I've become indifferent. I haven't spoken to anybody about Jesus for years. Never invited somebody to church. Lord, won't you fill my heart with passion?" Let us pray. You just chat to Jesus, whatever you want to do. Say, just say, "Lord Jesus, won't you give me the passion for those that are lost? Help me to speak to people. Help me not to be ashamed. Help me not to be afraid. Help me to go even from here tonight and phone somebody and talk about Jesus. Hear our prayers for Christ, our Savior's sake."